And so while he was speaking to her in verse number 35, people came from the synagogue leader's house, that man Jairus, and said, "Your daughter is dead." Things went from bad to worse. He first came to Jesus and she was sick. Surely he can heal the sick. But now by the time he's coming and he's following Jairus, she's dead. And the messengers of doom come. And they tell him, there's no sense trusting Christ now. You've gone from bad to worse. Perhaps in this small time of preaching, this 3 or 4 days, you've come down off of your own righteousness. And maybe for the first time, you've seen yourself a sinner. Each night, maybe, you've come down lower and lower. Until you have nothing at all to give God. And something in your conscience is saying, it's all over for you. You are too filthy. You're unworthy. God cannot save you. You're worse than imagined. I hope so. Because I want you to see what Jesus Christ said. What he did in this situation. What they said is, your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore? It's useless. Your children are too vile. You can't overcome sin. Now you know you love it. But when Jesus overheard what was said. Mark 5, verse 36. He didn't quit. He didn't get discouraged. He had no hesitation. He was not perplexed. He told the synagogue leader, "Do not be afraid. Only believe. Don't do anything. Don't trust in anything but the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Because he's got the power to not only heal the sick, a little sinner who's been doing a little bad. He has power to lift us from the dead, from our total corruption, to do the impossible, to make us live for God. He can do it. And the thing that me and you are to do is to not be afraid. Don't let it drive you away from Christ and say, I'm unworthy. I'll just go live in my sin. That's what those pigs did. But let it drive you to Christ still. And maybe you ladies have tried to pick up something and it seemed impossible. But some strong man came and he got it done. There's a stronger than he who fights for everyone who trusts him. I've got 4 things here, and then a question, and then a conclusion. Here's number 1. Do not be afraid of the circumstances. People had been telling me, and in my conscience I had been hearing, if you suffer for Jesus Christ, you'll be miserable. If you stick your neck out and preach the gospel, fearing no man, people are going to persecute you and you'll lose friends. People told me and tell you they will not support us if we keep following God like that. And we need to slow on down and be quiet and do it their way. I told you, or I'm telling you as to what I have found. You will too. That the thing I was most afraid of was being rejected over the gospel, being persecuted for what I can plainly see in Scripture. But when the persecution came, the shackles came off. And the key, my brothers and sisters, is to bear it with your eyes on Jesus Christ in communion with Him. And then you will be like those who in Acts 5, after they were beaten, and they must have shed their tears of pain, they went home rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for His name. Don't let anybody tell you how to serve God when you see what He says clearly in this Bible. When your conduct is holy and you're bringing glory to Jesus Christ alone, do not slow down. What you are afraid of will bring you the greatest joy and peace. Because Jesus Christ Himself will draw near unto you. He'll give you assurance that you never had. He'll prove inside your heart that you are His. And some of you here may have to go this on your own. You may have to fight against doubts and people whom you love just to follow Christ. It's worth it. Do not be afraid at all. You're going to be happier. I know by experience. Two, please, my brothers and sisters, my dear friends, don't be afraid of the power of sin, because the devil is bound. Let me repeat that, please. I don't want us to be scared of our own sin nature, because the devil is under control. Do you remember from your... It was from your Sunday school class. It talked about the sovereignty of God. That word was in your book. It was in your lesson. That word means that God, the eternal God, the only true God, He has all power under Satan, and He has Him up under His power. When the devil came to get Job, he had to get down on his knees, so to speak, and give permission. Just like our prayers are only answered according to the will of God. When Satan came for Job, he could not touch him until God said he could. And then God told him exactly how far he could go, and no further. Brother Matthew, after he came to Christ only 6 weeks ago, and he wants you to call him brother, not pastor. That was his title in religion to impress men, but he knows God now, and he wants to just be a child of God until the people of God say, okay, I recognize the gift. And I'm hoping to work with him very closely. We got the same heart and mind. But when he came to the Lord Jesus Christ and started preaching up in Lehi Island, one of his stories that came to his soul and captured him is God asked nobody's permission. The Almighty God, He puts His hand upon the sea and says, hereto you shall go and no further. And when God is in control of Satan, By the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, He has the power to set you free from sin. He doesn't have to ask anybody's permission. He doesn't have to beg your flesh if it will be put down. He doesn't have to offer a bargain unto the devil. He paid His own sacrifice. He washed His own garments and He dipped them with blood. He comes victorious in clouds of glory with everlasting power. He takes that which is His. He chose us from before the world was made. He ordained our salvation. Who can stop it? What the scripture says in the same chapter of Mark, chapter 5, and we fear no man and we fear not Satan. You understand me? We only fear God. He takes care of us. That's His promise. And so we looked at this, it was on Wednesday. Let me remind you here of verse number 12. That the demons, after that they had been cast out of the man whom Jesus healed and put clothes in his right mind, taught him how to worship God. And I see that happening here. I see the hoopla turning into worship. I see the eyes that were looking here turning up here. Not with this, but with this. I see humility in the presence of God. That's big time. But these demons, verse 12 says, as they begged Him, they had to ask permission from Jesus Christ. They had to get on their hands and knees and plead and say, send us to the pigs. That's the unsaved people who will perish in their sin, so we may enter them. Let me say this, please, with all the authority of the Bible. Nobody is going to hell who's been ordained for eternal life. The devil has power to bring nobody to hell whose name is in the book of life. He can't touch him. Jesus Christ is stronger than he, and He comes takes His own. He gives us faith in Christ, and we are saved. He gives us repentance, and we bow down. He puts the Spirit of God into our life and conquers our sin. It's not me and you, it's Him. Point number 3. This is quite similar, but it's a little different. Do not be afraid, but ride upon the storms of life confidently. Things are going to come to overtake you. It's going to be storms and persecutions for being faithful. It's going to be doubts and fears of me and you are in this flesh yet. It's going to be sin I didn't know I had that's going to rise up. It's going to be hunger. It's going to be pain. It's going to be death that you and I might have to face one day. If He doesn't comfort, all that will live godly in Christ are going to suffer persecution. And the devil is going to have his time to afflict us. Paul was the greatest man alive. And you know what God gave him? The devil to torment. Just to keep Paul humble. Oh, he could use it. We're not going to an easy life.
We're going to a conquering life. Please hear me on that. There's going to be challenges every day of our life, and some days more than others. But as we keep our eyes on Him who's got the power, we will walk upon the storm. It may be water that gets inside of our boat, but we will learn to sleep and relax just like Jesus did. Where are you going to stay tomorrow in Lagos? I don't know, but my God does. I'll pray to Him. Who will send you money after while you're over here if you don't ask them? Somebody will be touched by God. I'll pray. It doesn't matter what happens unto us if we've got God on our side. And here's what He says. It's in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33, verse number 27. It's in Deuteronomy, chapter 33, verse 27. And you can turn or you can just listen. As He's casting out blessings, our brother Moses says, at the God of old, that's the everlasting, eternal God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is your dwelling place. He's the place as to where you come up. He's the place as to where you live. You're not outside on your own. You're in the eye of the storm with Jesus Christ. And underneath me and you are the everlasting arms. My arms will get weak. I just saw a picture from just maybe 2 to 3 years ago. I had more muscle back then. I'm getting weaker by the day. But the arms of God are from everlasting to everlasting. And so that He has power that will never wear out. He drives out the enemy. He casts out Satan. He subdues sin. He overcomes fear. He gives joy before you and commands to destroy. He gives us the authority to rejoice in Christ no matter what. You hear me? That's power. He gives you the power to overcome your corrupt nature and give glory to God. He gave Paul and the apostles, after we saw them so immature in the four gospels, you get to the book of Acts and you read the epistles, He gave them power to never complain. On the first time I was coming to Nigeria, it was early November. And it was a problem on my visa, and I got stuck in London. But I had sworn to God through preaching from 2 Corinthians that I was going to be like Paul and never murmur from my mouth again. And I did not earn it, but I asked Him for it, confident through Jesus Christ. And just like Paul and them, they never complained again. You have that power now. That's overcoming. That's a brand new life. That's power over sin. That spits in the face of the devil. Do what you will. I rejoice in my Lord and I'll wait on Him. You can't touch me without His permission. And He promised His grace is all sufficient. That's what Paul had. He said, I glory in my weakness, in my troubles, in being beaten. I rejoice in the power of Jesus Christ. Because when I'm weak, I'm strong. He comes down and helps me. Just like He followed our brother Jairus. forth. Please, and I beg you, to lean upon Him, our Lord Jesus Christ, and expect the miraculous. Expect for light to shine in darkness. Expect for Him to do what nobody else can. Let's go back into the book of Mark, chapter 5, verse number 39. And we have to look at the problem. This man's daughter was sick, and he went to get Jesus. And Jesus followed him. And then he gets word, don't trouble the teacher no more. That child is dead. It's impossible now. It can't happen. The Lord Jesus, He has power that no man has. He has no circumstance that is too strong for Him. What the scripture says in Mark 5, verse number 39, is that He went and said, all the while as the people were crying and they were saying it's over, He, our Master, the Son of the living God, the Almighty, the everlasting Father, manifested in the flesh, the mighty God, He who came to save sinners by sacrificing Himself, who has the keys to the book of life, the power to grab it, who sits on the throne right now in glory. He said, why are you making a commotion and all of this weeping? Why are you acting as if it's hopeless? As if I can't raise Lazarus from the dead? And you remember that story, don't you? It's in John 11. It was a man named Lazarus who the Lord Jesus Christ loved. He heard that Lazarus was sick. He stayed 2 days exactly where he was. He came after Lazarus was already dead. Our sisters Mary and Martha, who believed God, said, if you had been here on time, you wouldn't have died. But Jesus said that Lazarus' sickness was not unto death, it's for the glory of God. And so when he got to the tomb and he saw the people weeping, he was angry, the scripture says, in his spirit. Because he said, I'm the resurrection and the life. I've got power over death. It's nothing to me. And here, he says, the child is not dead, but asleep. And the people, if they laughed him to scorn, they had tested her heartbeat. They had tried to listen to her breathing. They felt the stiffness of her corpse. But Jesus Christ is speaking things that can't be seen but by faith. He's saying, I already died for her sin. She's in the book of life. The purpose of God is not to destroy you. The purpose of God is not out of time. He hasn't come across something that's impossible for Him. He's not troubled by it. He's not scared of the situation. He says, you sleep. Because He knows for a fact He's going to wake her up from the dead. Brothers and sisters, I want us to look at things in the Bible how God sees it.
look at your problem how God sees it. And what does He say about it? He says you are a new creation. He says you do have life from the dead. He says you died already with Christ and you're risen with Him. He says you're already in heaven, sat down at the right hand of God. Because you're one with Jesus Christ. He says that book of life is a guarantee. He came into the world to save sinners. Not people who had anything at all that they could give. And He knows what power He has and what power it takes. I've got a question to ask you and then a conclusion. Here's the question. Who are we to fear? Has not our Master said, do not be afraid? So who are you and I to be afraid in Nigeria? Because my people told me, you come there, they might kill you. The only thing I must calculate is where does He want me? Who are we to be afraid of our situation? Who are we to be afraid of when somebody curses us? We fear God and nothing else. We worship Him and tremble at nothing else. We honor Him alone. In the book of Nehemiah, chapter 6, is another text, please. It's in verse number 11. I will try to be quick. But our brother Nehemiah had been building the wall. He's preaching sound doctrine. He's preaching the true gospel. I don't know why Mr. Waters here. I first thought it was to drink. But you and I know that the only thing clean about this water is it's in a bottle. It's been purified. If all the preachers in the USA were to stand here, it would be no cleaner than it already is. He's casting down every idol. He's bringing men and women to true worship. And the enemies of the gospel are angry that there is no hole in the wall. There is no way in but the truth of the gospel. And so they came at him. As it will come upon you and me. And their tactic was to put him in fear and make him scared and make him to relinquish his zeal from God's law. People want to talk to you about things that they already know about. Not to come to truth, but to slow you down. I will not mean it. Me and you both know what happened. People want you to serve God on their own terms, at their own speed. I'll be submissive in the house of God, and I'll have my zeal outside of it. I won't be stopped. If it's Bible, I will believe it just like you, and I'll put it into practice, let no man forbid me. I'm going to live for Jesus Christ. Not for anybody else. Maybe your husband is trying to slow you down. Stop taking them kids and stop going there. Stop hearing that gospel. Stop putting your heart into this. It's a young man trying to draw you off of Christ. He'll marry you if. Let him go. He's lost. His eternal loss.
What Nehemiah said in chapter 6, verse number 11, after they tried to put him in fear and told him, you will die if you don't hide yourself. Our brother Nehemiah said, should a man like me run away? I believe, and you believe, that the God who is the only true God is our friend. Your pastor was talking about his love and how he loved us with saving love. He would not let me and you perish. When he let the demons inside of those pigs, that could have been us. Let the demons out of you into me and I go on to hell. I could have never seen God and escaped my bondage except he gave it to me. He did for me and you what nobody else could. And he picked us special. So should a man like me run away? Should I play the coward? How can I enter the temple? How can I hide myself? How can I draw back? How can I slow down just to save my life? How can I count the cost and not pay the price when he bought me at the cross of Calvary? When he loved me even unto his own. When God died for me and you. How are we going to hold back anything from Jesus Christ? He can't ask us too much. People say, oh, you make a great sacrifice. What sacrifice? I haven't seen it yet. I feel no sacrifice for anything I've done for Christ. None. Because our eyes aren't on what we're doing. They're on God. I will not go in. And neither will you. It's going to cost you everything you've got to be faithful unto it. Pay it with gladness. Be honored that you're able to endure for his name's sake. Ask him what you can do for him. Let no man tell you. And check it by the Bible and make sure it's pure. And then go live for Christ with everything you got. Who are we to be afraid? I'm serving God who loved me, who shows me Christ every day, who puts the power inside of us, who washes our feet, who catches our tears in a bottle, who feeds us with sound doctrine, who provides for us in the storm. Why we go back? And my little cousin used to say, I ain't. And here's my last thing, please. As you turn back into Mark 5, and I'm talking to the dear children of God, believe God. Don't believe your fears. Don't believe what you can't do as you're looking at yourself. Don't believe what people say about you because they knew you last month and they saw you in your sin. And they're waiting on you to fall again. Don't believe your sin is too strong. Believe God. what the text says is don't be afraid. Only believe. And then watch him raise the dead. Here's what I mean by that as I conclude. I can't raise the dead, obviously. But he said if I only believe, he'll do the raising. That's the preaching of the gospel. My words are powerless. I have no ability to touch your heart on my best day. I can't do anything. But as I believe God and preach with everything I got, with my eye not on my preaching but on God who raises up the dead, to give eternal life to whoever he thinks. We'll see him work in miraculous. We'll see him do things that you and I cannot. That is the promise of the eternal God if you and I, if we only believe. If we only believe. And let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, with this weakness we ask you, Father, to be mighty in our midst and to give us grace that we don't have. Our Father, we are actually truly asking for a miracle. That the church be changed. That the power from on high might dwell in our midst. That you might wake up the dead here who sleep. And you may give a shining testimony unto your glory.
Amen.
And unto your greatness.
Amen.
And unto your power.
Amen.
Our Father, you know that people told us not to come preach here. Lord God, who are they to say what you can do? We want you to work unto the glory of God for our Lord Jesus Christ's sake.
Amen.
Bless the pastor.
Amen.
Bless the preaching.
Amen.
The Father, bless these people.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.